Welcome to the Southern Ground Podcast, provided by Alabama Extension through Auburn University. Extension educators Shane Harris and Dr. Chip East discuss seasonal lawn and garden topics, address common questions, and provide the practical solutions you want to know. Let's dig into our Southern Ground.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Southern Ground. I'm Shane Harris. Sitting across from me is Chip East, and we have a very special guest. We have Miss Dani Carroll, who's also part of our home horticulture team. Today, we have a room full of horticulturists for our podcast today. Hello, Dani. How are you on this beautiful spring morning?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing today?
Sure, glad to have you today. Chip, this is be a special treat for us.
It's a special treat. Glad that we've been working with Dani a long time, and we're glad she's here with us today.
Well, this topic is definitely hers, and we specifically wanted her to be part of this one. As we think about spring weather, spring season coming in, and Dani has mentioned this in a lot of our talks about planting the garden. Is it time to plant the garden? Do we have to plant the entire garden all at once? Why should we have a home vegetable garden? So those are some things that we want to try to address today on our Southern Ground podcast.
Shane, I remember years ago, my earliest memory of gardening was not about gardening. It was about rocks. My job was getting the rocks out of the garden. And to be honest with you, that wasn't fun. But that was the job. That was what I could do. I was little, you know, that's all I could do. They wouldn't let me touch a hoe because I might do something with it, chop something I shouldn't be working on.
My memory is Pawpaw coming down with the Cub tractor on a Saturday, and the whole group had to be out there, including us kids, and it's time to plant the entire garden. I mean, all half acre, full acre of that, and I had to plant the seeds. As I got older and a little bigger, I had to pull the plow. You know, had to be the donkey.
Yeah.
In this case.
Hey, Chip, that's actually my husband's job now. He has to get the rocks out of the soil because I don't trust him with the hoe, because sometimes I don't know if he knows what he's doing.
That's probably why that was my job, is just the most ignorant person on it. That's what you'd put to doing the rocks. But, yeah, that was the job, picking up the rocks. And
everybody had a role. Papa on the tractor, Mama planting the seed, somebody putting the fertilizer out, somebody covering it. Pulling the weeds. It's definitely a family tradition in the past. But we want to talk about why we want to do a spring or home vegetable garden. There's lots of reasons for doing that.
Well, number one, everybody likes to know where their food comes from. I think that's probably the most important. And for a lot of people, it's more than that. It's more than a hobby. It's just the way they were brought up. It's the way of life. Y'all were talking about your earliest memories of gardening. Mine was actually popcorn. So we had huge fields of popcorn.
Wow. We didn't have that from Clay County.
My grandmother, we would get the popcorn, harvest the corn, and she would run it. I want to say sheller. I know that's not what it's called, but it busted the kernels off.
Yeah.
And then we would go pop the popcorn. It wasn't the buttery microwave yum-yum that we have today, but it was pretty tasty.
I like that.
We need to try that. We haven't done a demonstration with Dani on popcorn. We need to have that type of event at some point.
That's a good idea.
That'd be pretty cool.
But you mentioned having knowing where your food comes from, but a lot of people like it because it's fresh eating. You can go out there and pick a squash, pick the corn, pick a fresh tomato in the summertime for a quick meal. So a lot of people, see, even today, maybe have small gardens. They don't plant a big garden like maybe in the past, or don't have that big, large family, but they still like fresh produce.
Yeah, and it's very convenient because, like you say, you don't have to put it on your grocery list, or if you don't have a pepper, you're like, oh, we can't make this because we don't have one. You just can run out there and pick a couple of things, and you always have something to make a meal.
We always talk about things like this, save money. I don't know if we're going to save a lot of money. We had to plant a lot of crops, but that is one reason some people want to have a garden. They like to try to save some money.
Save some money, and it's really good exercise, too. It's good for you.
Good physical health and mental health.
It is.
Always joke in our talks about go out there and take your frustration out and pull the weeds. Do a little hoeing or yanking the weeds out. Or
get the rocks out.
Mash a bug, Chip.
Hey, and those rocks always come in handy. We always put them in a big bucket, and that way when we need a bunch of rocks to do something with, we have them.
You're right. We're still using those rocks. They're doing their job where we put them at right now.
But yeah, so we're getting ready. You know, with a garden, we can do something year round. There's garlic growing right now. There's onions growing right now. Some of the cool season crops, I mean, they're kind of getting ready here in the middle of March to kind of end their life cycle. But to me, there's no let's start the garden today, because it's just always, it's always there.
In the Deep South, we say about 10, 11 months out of the year that you can be growing something, right?
I mean, there could be something growing 12 months. When you've got garlic and onions and some of your frost-hardy collards growing all, I mean, still growing now that were planted last year.
Use a row cover, too, like a farmer would do, and extend that season.
That's right. But everybody right now, I think, is getting the warm weather frenzy. It's like my mama used to say, do you have your garden planted? And I'm like, Mama, the garden's been planted for 5 years. But she, you know, to her, it was tomatoes and okra. If you've got tomatoes and okra in the garden, that means your garden's been planted.
Yeah, there's always a peak time, maybe here in Alabama, it's around April, that everybody's, and we've been looking, as spring has been teasing with us now, as people have been breaking up their gardens, getting them ready. If it's a quarter acre or a half acre plot, they're already tilling that ground, getting it ready. And it's always the family tradition, historical tradition of let's go plant the entire garden at one time. And that's the way we grew up, Chip, as we went out there and planted the whole time. But as you and I were talking off the air, but you got to have a reason to do that if you want to plant the whole thing, and it could be good or bad.
And there are reasons to do that. I work a lot with farmers, and like Danny working with home producers same way, I want to plant over time. A little every couple of weeks, or it kind of depends. I know people plant sweet corn. I know one that plants every 3 days. You know, it just kind of depends on how much we're growing and what we're doing with it. But I don't want to pull something out of the freezer when I can be pulling it out of the garden. It took a lot of work to get it in that freezer. Now, if you plant the whole garden at one time, you want it to all come in at one time, and we put it up and put it in the freezer. I understand that's a reason for doing it all at once.
We don't have the people doing that as in the past. A lot of people don't do the canning. They still may do a little bit of freezing. Most people would have want a few small plants around the home of a smaller plot because it's just easier to go buy it.
A lot of times you don't even have the space in the, I mean, I guess it depends on where you live at, but if you don't have a big freezer, you can't put much in it.
Don't have the big families, don't have a lot of people to feed.
Planting all summer is a good idea, yeah.
Well, there's that, and these vegetable plants just behave differently. Like, you take squash, for instance, something that we're going to direct seed really easily. You don't have to have transplants. That, to me, it germinates in a soil temperature much less, you know, even up to 10 degrees less than some of the other ones. So my squash will go in, you know, sometimes 10 days before I even think about putting a tomato out. And peppers even maybe a week later than that. And then you get into okra and sweet potatoes. Well, you know, when it is so hot outside and humid that the Bermuda's growing and we're fanning ourselves, that's the temperature they like. So that's not even to me going in till May.
I remember being at a farmer's market, Danny, and everybody there had squash. And that's about all we had because what you said is right. Well, one, it don't take as many days to grow it as compared to tomatoes, for instance. But you're right, we have it. So we got to think about when we want it, and then we'll decide when we're going to plant it. I got to think about what the temperature is going to be, and they make soil thermometers. We got publications on what the best, they'll give you a range of low to high where the soil temperature needs to be. And then all you garden centers, they'll sell soil thermometers that we can check.
I think the bottom line is, what are we going to do with it once it's successful and the harvest has come in? Do you need bushels and bushels of potatoes, bushels and bushels of corn? If you don't have the freezer space, you don't have the family, you're not going to can it. Maybe you're going to give it away. Maybe you're going to sell it. And so, Danny, why do you think traditionally everybody's so geared up in the spring, we got to plant the entire garden, the entire plot? Why do people still are hesitant to do what we call succession planting?
I think it's because you just get it over with. You go out there and plant once and you're done. That's what I think the reason is. But I like the succession planting, and I also just kind of like to time things differently. Just we'll take squash, for instance, because you mentioned squash. Have you ever noticed how much water squash takes? You know how in the heat of the summer and it'll kind of deflate itself? Now, I know sometimes that's because a squash vine bores, but it really needs that water. So I like to get it in early. What, it takes 55 days, so after 75 days, you've had weeks of harvest, and then get it on out of there, and then wait till fall and plant it again.
As you started to talk about why do succession or multiple plantings throughout the year, we don't have to put everything in the ground at the same time.
No, nor does it want to be in the ground at the same time.
But pest problems is definitely a reason to stagger it either earlier or later, or heat. We got a lot of things that are heat problems in the Deep South. When it comes to July and August, things just don't work.
I say that's the okra, Malabar, spinach, sweet potatoes. Now, that stuff's loving it. Me and the squash, not so much.
I've planted corn a lot of different times over the years, and during the same season, plant several times. And I may plant six times a year, which is nothing compared to what farmers may do. But my worst planting is always the last planting because the critters get it, Danny, more so. Raccoons and deer and that sort of thing, and why they don't, it's not a big deal in the summer. Now, I'm not saying they can't get it, but that last planting, I've had it where they got more of the corn than I've got. So
they've been watching you for years. They know that's their last chance.
They know when to go harvest, right?
Review with us our calendar of seasons. Of we got cool season, we got warm season. Just go through us when things should be planted, sort of in general, and then go into more about what can be replanted throughout the growing season.
It's funny in Alabama because we always lump things into cool season and warm season, but we also have that hot as heck season and that cold as mess season. Those two don't last. Well, the hot season seems like it lasts the longest, but so I kind of break it down into those four. And really it depends on where you live in Alabama. So when we talk about those, well, always like the asparagus, Irish potatoes, those are going to be kind of your February thing. But when we talk about the cool season crops like your brassicas, your collards, your broccoli and all that good stuff, you know, fall is usually the better time for that type of cool season crop just because we warm up so quickly. I mean, it's 80 degrees right now and it's what, March 7th or 8th?
March 11th.
March 11th. I was close.
We know we wear T-shirts and shorts at Christmas a lot of times in the South.
That's right. So we do have to be a little cautious about those kind of things. But as we're going into this season, this is like the really mixed season because when we talk about the cooler things like lettuce, radishes, those are perfect right now. Your cilantros. For some of the other stuff, like the really hardcore cool season crops, they're going to start bolting really, really quick in this hot weather. So we're in that transition stage in mid-March where we're kind of getting rid of or cleansing the garden of those crops we had planted last November, and we're going into those warmer season crops, the corn, the squash. To me, that's always the first things I think about because they can do cooler temperatures than some of the other vegetables. And then we're going straight into, you know, whether you're doing bush beans or pole beans and the tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, all of that good stuff. And then I'm going to what I call the hot as mess crops. Then I'm going into planting okra, sweet potatoes, Madagascar spinach, some of the tropical things that we can grow here. And then just as soon as all that's getting ready, it's like end of July and you're like, oh, it's time to think about cool season stuff again. But at the same time, July, I'm replanting tomatoes. August, I'm replanting squash.
There are a lot of people that time of year, they're starting to harvest and they're sort of getting tired of the garden. The excitement has sort of waned off a little bit.
It has, and I encourage people to keep going because it's a lot more fun to garden in winter than it is in the summer. It's a lot cooler.
Danny, I've heard you talk before a lot, and I remember years ago, my grandparents, when a lot of people did grow cotton, and it was a big deal to who made the first bowl of cotton. That was a big deal. And a lot of people like that with a tomato. Oh, I'm going to pick a tomato, I think, in 2 days or 3 days or something like that. Danny, I've heard you talk. It's important who's got the last tomato or the last whatever.
Oh, yeah. Things start getting scarce. You know, when that heat comes in, man, and I'm guilty of it myself. It's like, oh, it's just too hot. And then eventually weeds take over, diseases take over, insects take over because you're not watching it as much. But, I mean, this is why I like smaller gardens now, because my gardens got bigger and bigger, and I thought I need more and bigger and bigger, and it got to a point that even my kid was like, no, no ma'am, not another garden. And so we started scaling back, and I'm like, I'm getting more than I did on the smaller garden because I'm taking care of it and I'm watching it.
Manage what we have better.
manage it better than I could the larger ones. But yeah, if you really start taking care of those plants, and then you think about what varieties you're going to do best at different times, and you're replanting like tomatoes in the July 4th or even a little bit after, having those fresh tomatoes for Thanksgiving.
I think that's a big deal, right?
And they really love it when those temperatures start coming down in the fall. Like when we were used to those 95s and 90s, when it starts getting into those low 80s and the 60s at night, woo, those tomatoes and peppers in the fall just go nuts.
Things start setting fruit again, and they might have slacked off when it high nighttime temperatures, yeah.
It's a great time to garden.
Let's go back to what you said about small gardening, small plots, maybe a raised bed or small area. You could have one or two tomatoes, a couple things of cabbage, one or two squash. What would be an ideal arrangement, I guess, depending on what you like? We always recommend grow what you like. Don't grow something you don't like eating.
So if I were not going to put vegetables up, which I do and I share, but if I were not going to do that, the perfect amount for my big family of two would probably be two tomato plants, because you're going to use that to make sauce. Whether you're canning them or not, you're still going to make a lot of different sauce and things like that. And see, I'm going to be different from everybody else because I'm going to throw in two eggplant because I love grilled eggplant. Peppers, again, everybody's going to be different. I'm going to have four hot peppers, a couple of bell peppers, some peppers to put on the smoker. I love a smoked stuffed pepper. I mean, that's hard because everybody's going to be different. And as I talk, my garden keeps getting bigger, and I got to pare it back down. But, I mean, I can get by with, you know, when we think about something like okra, we think, oh, you got to have this huge patch. I could have 10 okra plants and be just fine to have the okra for supper once or twice a week without having too much that I had to put up.
Depending on the garden size, I always think corn and melons and sometimes peas and beans, but they take up a lot of space to me.
They do.
Where tomatoes and squash and cucumber and, like you say, peppers, okra, we can grow a lot of that on a smaller area.
We can, and in those smaller areas, I have started doing the bush beans. Now, I'm not harvesting enough to put up into bags and have beans for Christmas dinner or anything, but I can go out there and grab, you know, at least once a week, and I'll have 30 or 40 pods in my hand, and that's just perfect for a meal.
I always like to say, grow the things, too, that are the hardest to get fresh.
That's true. And for me, corn's not it. I don't have enough room for corn. Now, I love corn, and I love when the farmers around me, when their corn comes in, and I can go buy from them. But I just don't have that kind of space.
There's a good crop. You just need the space if you're going to grow it. I always think about that when we go in high tunnels and things with them. We can grow them. They just take up space. So
I would add watermelons, sweet potatoes, all those that run, those vining plants that take a lot of space. There's only so many watermelons you can eat at one sitting.
I like a good sugar baby watermelon.
And speaking of space, that's part of succession is take, once it's finished, rip it out, put something back.
Either rip it out. I like to rip stuff out. And then I like to go in, either I'm going to plant something directly behind it, or I'm just going to like say, okay, you rest for just a little bit. And I might throw some buckwheat or something out just to make sure that soil's covered. You get a lot of pollinators. You get a lot of beneficial insects that come in, and those guys are helping you with the pest insects on the other stuff. And it's just pretty. I mean, I really like to tell people 25% of the garden should be dedicated to a pest management that includes beneficial plants.
These concepts are a little bit odd for folks that from the traditional methods, because they want to plant everything at one time and it's done. What we're trying to suggest is people do succession planting, mix and match throughout the year and extend that growing season. You don't have to plant the garden all at one time.
You don't.
When that crop is done and we get it, I want to get it out. We're just harboring, could be insects and disease, but I really think disease we're harboring. So I want to get it out as soon as I can. Whenever I think it's done and I'm through picking, that's something I would do as well.
It comes out, and then that's when the goodie comes in.
The something goes back in behind it, right?
Flowers, zinnias, the buckwheat is a cover crop. Just something that is good for the garden.
We have a lot of information on the growing cover crops and if it's vegetables we're talking about, all that, on our website. And if you just go to your local extension office, they can provide all kind of information that'll help you in your gardening venture.
Danny, we want to thank you for joining us here on Southern Ground. Our very first guest, Chip.
Oh, so glad you've joined us today.
For our podcast, we thought this would be a great topic. This is definitely your specialty area. We love hearing you do these talks on vegetable gardening and again, trying to educate people and change their concept of thinking about planting the entire garden. Hey, if you want to plant the entire garden this spring, go ahead, right, do it. That's your preference. We hope you have a bountiful harvest. Chip, another good Southern Ground podcast. We look forward to y'all tuning in on future podcasts that we can address some of those topics and some of those issues that you have questions about. Thank you, Danny, for being with us.
No, thank y'all for letting me drop in.
Chip, glad to see you today.
Thank y'all.
For more information on how we can help you, you can reach out to the Alabama Cooperative Extension System at www.aces, that's spelled out ACES.edu, or contact your local county extension service through your land-grant universities throughout other states. We appreciate you listening today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Southern Ground.
Southern Ground has been a production of Alabama Extension at Auburn University.